Hello, and welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm excited that you've joined us today because we're doing something a little bit unique. We're going to examine eternal security from a particular perspective, the perspective of a very influential theologian named Dwight Pentecost. So, let's go right to today's discussion on eternal security with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
I want to do something a little bit different today, Bob. One of the things that our ministry does is we produce a journal, more of an academic level journal, twice a year.
Right.
It's really aimed at pastors. It's aimed at lay people who kind of want to dig a little bit deeper.
Right. Like people who would be Bible study teachers or elders or deacons or women's teachers or anyone that wants to understand the word at a more in-depth level. This is like a 125-page book twice a year.
Right. It's called the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society.
And we have like four or five, six articles of about 20 pages each.
Yeah.
And then we also have book reviews.
Yeah. What I like about our journal is the highest level academic journals are pretty much inaccessible to anyone who isn't a specialist in those disciplines. You know, if I'm thinking of like the International Journal of Systematic Theology or Modern Theology, I mean, it's written in such academic jargon that you need to be a PhD student to even begin to understand the arguments that are being made.
I mean, you're exactly right. There are some journals, like Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society or Bibliotheca Sacra, that are designed more or less for anyone with a PhD in theology or systematic theology or whatever. But many of the articles in those journals are hard to grasp unless you're a specialist in their area.
Right. But our journal is different. I think anyone who's motivated to know about truth is going to be able to understand our journal for the most part, I think.
Right.
An article I'm writing for the spring 2020 issue, which should come out in March or April, is on basically what professors at Dallas Theological Seminary taught about salvation and assurance and lordship salvation, those types of issues. One of the authors I go over is J. Dwight Pentecost, who's really famous for this dissertation he wrote, which is very unusual for a dissertation, a best-selling book on prophecy.
Yeah, the book called Things to Come.
Hundreds of thousands of copies of that book were sold in the 70s and 80s, I think.
Back in the early days when Dallas Seminary was doing dissertations, they weren't quite as academically minded as they are, or they became, and they are now. And so his dissertation was basically a whole lot of quotes, which he would piece together with a few comments he'd make, and then more quotes and more quotes, and that became Things to Come.
Right.
But it's outstanding because it covers the classic dispensational viewpoint.
Right. One of the books that I review in this article I'm writing is his book, Pentecost's book, Things Which Become Sound Doctrine, Doctrinal Studies of 14 Crucial Words of Faith. It's kind of similar to your 10 Most Misunderstood Words books, you know, taking key words. Most of these relate to salvation. And in chapter 12, he has this chapter on security.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he says about eternal security.
Maybe we should define it, or is he going to define it?
Well, no. Why don't you go ahead and define it?
Well, eternal security is sometimes, especially in Baptist circles, called once saved, always saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the idea that once a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for his eternal salvation, for everlasting life, then he is secure forever. That is, he cannot lose everlasting life once he gains it. Once you're born again, you're always born again. Now, there are a lot of people who say they believe that, but then they back off it and say, well, if you're really born again, you're going to live the life. And we talked in a recent episode, I believe, about the president of the Southern Baptist Convention who came out with an article, Once Saved, Always Following.
Right.
Or Forever Following.
Yeah.
He used the alliteration, Forever Following. He basically turned Once Saved, Always Saved into Once Saved, Maybe Always Saved, but only if you persevere.
Right. He was talking about eternal security, but what he was really talking about was the Calvinist doctrine of perseverance.
The perseverance of the saints. Right.
Well, anyways, here's what Pentecost says about security. And I just really appreciated these two quotes. There's two quotes I want to read.
Good.
Here's one here. It says, "As we consider with you the doctrine of security, we recognize immediately that our security is related to the kind of salvation which God has provided for sinners. Has God provided salvation, or has God provided a chance for salvation to those who accept Jesus as a personal Savior?" I love that contrast. If you believe in eternal security, you believe in salvation. If you believe in a non-eternally secure salvation, Pentecost says what you really believe in is a chance for salvation.
I like that because that's very, very accurate on the way a lot of people teach, and it's very disturbing, too.
So why does he say it's a chance at salvation? Because you don't know if you will be saved. Even if you believe in Jesus now, you don't know if you're going to be saved at the end.
Well, right, because in most people's theology, Jesus doesn't guarantee that if you believe in him, you're going to spend eternity with him. What he guarantees is if you believe in him, you have a chance of spending eternity with him.
Right.
You have a chance of making it. A lot of people today call this nebulous thing you're going to get if you persevere to the end, they call it final salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And they say in order to get final salvation, you've got to keep running the race. You've got to keep fighting the fight.
Right.
You've got to be one who perseveres to the end.
Right.
BibSac, Dallas Seminary's Journal, ran an article, I think it was Willard Aldrich or one of the brothers, back in the 30s on salvation as probation. And
right.
He talked about what we get is not probation.
Right.
It's eternally secure.
Right.
And this is the same kind of idea Dr. Pentecost is talking about.
And so what Pentecost does here is he makes you ask the question, okay, what kind of salvation are you believing in Jesus for? Is it eternal or are you just believing in him for a chance? And I think a lot of people, if they think about it, they're going to say, yeah, I guess I'm hoping for a chance at salvation, a chance to prove myself by forever following or by doing whatever is necessary religiously or morally to be saved.
Well, I was going to say, some people like to call this the difference between hope-so Christianity and know-so Christianity.
Right.
Do I know I am secure,
mm-hmm.
or do I hope I'm going to make it and hope that I fulfill the chance I've been given?
Right. Well, Pentecost goes on, and again, this is from his book, Things Which Become Sound Doctrine, and the chapter on security. He goes on to give different reasons why Jesus brings an eternally secure salvation. But I absolutely loved this last quote. It's from page 127, and he says this, "Not only the purpose of God, but also the promise of God is a basis for our security. We go into a familiar passage, such as John 3:16, where it is made so clear, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice the two aspects of the promise. Negatively, he shall not perish. Positively, he shall have everlasting life. Or again in John 5:24, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." We see in this verse the same twofold aspect, the negative, he shall not come into condemnation or judgment, and the positive side, he has already passed from death into life. And I love this quote here. And I'll finish it with this. "When God offers a man life, God offers a man only one kind of life, and that is eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God, and as God's life could never be terminated by death. So the life of God given to the child of God could never be terminated. We submit to you that the promise of God to give eternal life to the one who accepts Christ as his Savior is a sufficient basis for our security." I mean, I think he hits the nail on the head there. How many people say they believe in John 3:16 and yet they believe in a hope-so probationary chance at salvation?
Right. So based on what he's saying here, they don't believe the promise of John 3:16. And either they're not yet born again or they were born again in the past and they've lost their focus on Christ, one way or the other. But at the moment we're born again, we do believe that he's given us what he promises us.
Right.
which is, we'll never perish, we have everlasting life.
Right.
And if at the get-go we think, well, he's given me a chance at it, well, that's really not much different than all the other religions of the world.
Right. Very, very interesting book. But one thing I found is that not every professor at Dallas Theological Seminary was as clear as Pentecost was on this issue.
Right. You covered how many different professors?
Five or six of them. And there's going to be a follow-up article. But not everyone was as clear. I found Pentecost was very clear. And, of course, your favorite professor there, Zane Hodges, was also extremely clear about this issue.
Right.
And I just wonder, you know, what kind of salvation is being taught at your church? Is it eternal salvation? Is it eternal life that can never be terminated? Is it eternal life where you're never going to perish, where you're never going to come under judgment? It seems to me a lot of gospel preaching is do this or you will come under judgment.
Right. And the big issue, Sean, as you know, is that a lot of preachers are so concerned about people abusing the grace of God that they change the saving message in order to improve the quality of the people in the church. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me if we believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then we must bend the knee at the way he evangelized. We must evangelize the way he did.
Right.
If we think the way he did it was easy believism or cheap grace, well, too bad. That's the way we need to do it.
Right.
We can't say that's not hard enough. We need to make it harder to be born again. Because if we do that, we've now abandoned the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I remember Charles Stanley liked to say, it's not cheap grace because God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins, and the price was the blood of Christ, infinite value. Now, to us, it's not cheap, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So Stanley said, for us, it's free. For God, it's very costly. There's nothing cheap about it. I really like that.
You always have to think of it from Jesus' side. It cost him everything.
Right.
In a way, salvation is by works, but it's not our works. It's by Jesus' works.
Yeah, it's not our works. That's why it's called the finished work of Christ.
And that's why you and I can have everlasting life for free by faith apart from works.
Amen.
What amazing good news. If this interests you, then be sure to get a subscription to the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, starting with the spring 2020 issue, which is going to have my article on this topic.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion about eternal security and what Professor Pentecost thought about it. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss the gift, which is talked about in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.